Yeah, and we are thankful to see each one here this evening. We certainly desire your prayers. We're going to turn near the end of Psalm 119. I know we turned there not too long ago, but we felt burdened to look at some other scriptures in this passage. And I don't know, I just love reading from this passage. There's a common theme throughout this psalm, and that is a love for the Word of God. I mean, if you go from start to finish, there is just a love for the Word of God, a love for the commandments of God. Everywhere you look, it's, I love keeping your commandments. Your commandments, you know, have saved me. Your Word has renewed me. Your Word is a treasure. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on, verse after verse, about a love for the Word of God. And, you know, that's a good place to start anywhere, is just having a love for the Word of God. And we're going to begin in verse 161 tonight of Psalm 119. But before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. And Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Pray that you would help us all to have open hearts to your Word. And Father, that we could grow in our love for your Word and know the benefits of it in our life. That Father, we could see your blessings. And Father, we could also so yield ourselves to your Word that then you could use us to be a blessing to someone else also. Father, we ask for your blessings, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In Psalm 119, verse 161, it says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Just notice the beginning there. He's saying, I may be persecuted, but I know the strength of God's word. And I'm standing in awe of thy word. Just the amazement, just the promises, just everything you can hold on to in the Word of God. He wasn't afraid of the princes. He knew that God was in control and he could have confidence in what God had promised and God had given. He said, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." And notice the way that he's talking about this. The Word of God is something to rejoice over. And I could go through a lengthy list of this. And in fact, you could just teach a whole message just from rejoicing in the Word of God. But you know, it's a rejoicing thing to think about how God brings to knowledge our sinful condition, isn't it? God showed us that we were sinners, and people say, "Well, that's not fun." Well, that's the reason the world isn't saved, is because they would rather believe themselves to be fine and righteous in and of themselves instead of see themselves as a sinner and turn to Christ. But for those of us that are saved, we look back at the time when God convicted us of our sin. He showed us our condemnation, that we were on the road to hell, but he did that not to bring us down. He did that so that we would turn and see the salvation in Christ. He did that for our benefit and our good so that we would not be condemned for all eternity. He did that so that we could be reconciled to him through Christ. But to get us to see our need of Christ, there's just no other way around it. You had to see yourself in the condition you were in. You had to see yourself as a sinner. And that's why probably the second verse of Amazing Grace is one of my favorite verses of any song. "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." Well, if I didn't first have that grace to fear, I would have never got things fixed with God like I needed to. And so it was needful that I come under that condemnation. It was needful that I see my condition. It was needful so that I could see the love of God in Christ. And so, you know, you rejoice over the Word. Even the words that even after we're saved, you know, the Word of God, it convicts us, doesn't it? Even after we're saved, you're going to come across scriptures and God's going to show you, well, here's something in your life that's not good. But everything in the law of God is for our benefit. Everything that God teaches us is so that we can draw closer to Him, that we can have a greater relationship. but also so that sin doesn't tear us down. See, we don't even see what sin does to us in life without the Word of God. We don't see the damage that it does, the damage that it can do to a marriage, the damage that it can do in relationship with children, the damage it can do with our fellow man, the damage it can do with our neighbors, the damage it can do and even our reputation, our honesty, our integrity, things of this nature. We wouldn't see all that without the Word of God. And occasionally God has to say, there's something in your life that you need to see. And I often tell people this, if you're hearing the preached Word of God and you don't occasionally feel like the preacher hits you right between the eyes with the Word, well, you're missing something important. You know, there's times I go to my home church and my pastor has to preach a message and, you know, occasionally it's, well, Brandon, you got to forgive, or you got to get something right, or you got to get this out of the way. Well, if I didn't have that, I couldn't draw closer to God. And so even when I'm being reproved or rebuked by the Word of God, it's still a rejoicing thing. Because now that I've seen that, I can repent of it, and me and God can be at a better place. We can grow in that relationship. But I tell you what, also in the Word of God, there's just so many teachings. There is so much wisdom in the Word of God that I tell you, it becomes a fountain of life to you. He talks about this as rejoicing in the Word of God as one that findeth great spoil. You know, sometimes in talking about the Word of God, I get a little bit excited. And even when I'm around other people, I love to talk about the Word of God. And there's probably sometimes, especially being around maybe cousins and nephews and things of this nature, they're going, he just keeps saying this stuff. Well, that's because I know the benefit for him. I've seen the benefit in my life. I've seen the rejoicing that it causes when you avoid foolishness in your life, when you avoid the mistakes of sin. And when you learn to follow God, and when you've learned that, you're going, listen, if you'll just listen to me for a moment, it'll help you going down the road. I mean, that's kind of the attitude you find in the Father in the book of Proverbs, isn't it? Oh, son, hear my words. Hear this wisdom. And it'll be, you know, it'll be treasure unto you. It'll be that marrow to your bones. It'll be this that'll help you as you go through life. You just need to listen for just a moment. And he's trying to pass on some knowledge. And you can see the rejoicing in that knowledge. And you can see the benefit of that knowledge. And the psalmist here talks about it. He says, I rejoice in the Word as one that findeth great spoil. It'd be something if you were walking through the woods somewhere, you started to dig a hole at your house for something, and all of a sudden, you found a treasure chest full of gold. Well, you'd rejoice over that. You'd be excited about it. My goodness, you ever seen somebody that found out that they got a raise, or found out that, that they've inherited some money, or they've inherited some land, or something big has come into their life? Get a little bit excited. He says, listen, the things of the Word of God, they call such rejoicing, it's as one that has found great spoil. You've come across a treasure and you love it. You rejoice over it. You know, I read in Proverbs 31 and I think about that virtuous woman. And you know, I try to put myself into that man's shoes and think about his place. What value is it for a man to find a good wife? I'll say this, the husband was praising his wife at the end of that chapter, and the children was even calling her blessed. They were rejoicing over the fact they knew they had something special. I tell you, a woman that finds a good, righteous, and virtuous man should rejoice over that. And you know, a man that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, even finds favor with the Lord. That's not just finding somebody to marry. That's finding a true wife, a true helpmeet. Somebody that's going to go through life together and it's bone of bone, flesh of flesh. Somebody that's helping you draw closer to the Lord and helping you be the family that God wants you to be. Well, that's worth rejoicing over. It's good to rejoice at the Word of God. I think about in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul tells young Timothy, it's the Word of God that made thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. And he told him that that Word of God was also profitable for reproof, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness. It's good for doctrine. He said, it's good that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. I'll tell you what, somebody finds that out, they found a treasure. They found something valuable, and the Word of God should be valuable to us. You know, sometimes you find people and they say, man, I just had to get up and read a couple of scriptures today. Well, why would you do that? Now, there may be some that just does it out of a habit. But there's others, they look into that and say, well, I got fed today. I got some nutrition that I can go out and I can be the person that God wants me to be. There's times that you read things, and I've had over the years, and it's been a blessing to me to watch it, and I know I've experienced myself, but it's wonderful when you find somebody say, listen, I was studying my Bible today and look what I came across. And they act like it was some treasure they found. Look what God said here. And sometimes they'll even say, I'm going through this in my life, and I'm going through that in my life. And then this verse, boom, God just placed it before me. And look at how it helps me. Look at how it gives me strength. Look at how it comforts and encourages me. Look at how it even gave me the wisdom to know what to do next in my life. And they're treating it like they should, something to rejoice over. Something to be treasured. He goes on to say, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. One of the greatest things we have about the Word of God is we know that God cannot lie. This world will lie to you in every way, shape, form, or fashion it can. I mean, that's been proven over time. I mean, nobody's ever found a government that's lied, have they? Politicians don't lie, do they? Institutions don't lie, do they? Businesses don't lie, do they? Why, everything you come across will lie for its own advantage. But the Word of God is always true. It's not trying to corrupt you. I talk about the truth of God's Word. The truth has no agenda. It's just there. And the thing that God builds up all the time about His Word, thy Word is truth. The truth is just that, truth. It's not trying to have an agenda. It's not just trying to hurt your feelings or make you feel good or whatever else. It's just the truth of what is. And it's presented that way. And can you think about a person going through life as we all have? We've all been lied to. We've all faced lies in life. We've probably had even jobs before. Oh man, we got this raise coming to you. We got good things coming to you. And then you go and take the job and it's nothing like they said it would be. Let me ask you this. You ever have friends set you up on a blind date years ago? Oh, they could talk somebody up, couldn't they? And then things were not what people said. And people can talk themselves up. They can brag and tell you about all the things that they are and all that they can do. But lying is something that we've all dealt with in life. We've all been lied to, and sometimes we get lied to so much we harden our hearts. But this person is saying, I can turn to God because He'll always be honest with me. No matter what the world does and how much I hate lying and how much this world might lie to me, the law of God I can always love because it's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It doesn't change. It still upholds the truth. No matter what goes on in the world, the truth is still the truth. He says, thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Sounds like a person that's a little bit excited. I'm going to praise you, God. I'll praise you seven times a day. I won't just praise you once and say thank you once. I'm going to go through the day and I'm going to praise you. I think about Daniel, how he prayed three times a day. That was a man that saw his need of God. And he knew who he could rely upon. He said, well, I know who I'm going to praise. And no law or anything else that they do is going to stop me from praising my God. He knew who he served. And here this psalmist, he knows who he serves and he knows who is worthy of praise. He says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What you have here in saying nothing shall offend them, if you dig a little bit deeper into that verse, what the Hebrew word there is trying to say is that it won't be a stumbling block to them. It won't be a hindrance. There are things that offend us in life, and we say, well, I'm not having anything to do with that anymore. You know, causes that offense that makes us want to quit, faint, stop. But see, when we have peace because we know who we're serving, we know the God that we're following, and we know how He rewards those that follow Him. I tell you what, you don't want to stop serving Him. You're not going to come across something that's going to stumble you and say, you know what, I'm going to quit on God. Not going to do that if you love His Word. Because you're getting peace through His Word. You're getting comfort. How many times do we read about the comfort of the Scriptures? The comfort of the Scriptures. The hope of the Scriptures. The joy of the Scriptures. We read about these things. He's saying, God, Your Word gives me peace. And because I have peace, because I love Your law, and I'm holding to Your Word, and I'm seeing the benefits of Your Word, nobody's going to stop me from serving You. He's saying there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to make me stop serving You. That gets to the attitude of Job, doesn't it? Though he slay me, still will I serve him. That's the attitude. There is nothing coming into my life that's going to stop me from serving God. It's just not going to happen. And that's what he's talking about when nothing shall offend them. He's saying nothing is going to stop them from serving God. I'm just going to continue. I'm just going to keep serving Him because I know the benefit of the law and the Word of God. It gives me peace. He said, Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. My soul hath kept Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I love that last word there. I love them exceedingly. You know, what the Bible tells us, it's not the hearer of the Word of God that is blessed, but the doer. There's a lot of people that have heard about salvation in Jesus Christ, haven't they? But for those of us who have experienced the salvation of Christ, it means something more to us, doesn't it? Somebody can hear, well, Jesus saves, Jesus forgives sins, God will reconcile you to Himself through His only begotten Son. Many people have heard that. Many people have read that. And many people might even believe it as far as with their mind. But for those of us who have experienced the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and we have had a relationship through Christ, man, it means something far different. It means something more. And we say, listen, I love His words exceedingly. But not only salvation, when we experience salvation in Christ, do we say, I love God exceedingly. But then we start to build upon that salvation. Sadly, over the years, I've come across many people that say, I wish I could get back the feeling I had when I first got saved. And I'm sitting there going, it's supposed to grow. As you get older, your salvation should mean more to you as you get older than it did the first day that you got saved. When I first got saved, I knew I had trusted in Christ. I knew my sins had been forgiven. But how much more about my salvation do I understand now versus the day that I got saved? My goodness, I've seen more of my sinful condition since I've been saved. I've seen more of the person that God saved. I've seen more of what's in my own heart. I've seen how far away I am from God, and the more you study the law of God, the more you see yourself, the more you just stand in amazement and go, why in the world did God save me? Why would God ever send His only begotten Son to die for us? And I mean, the more experience you get in life, you not only see your own sins, but you see this more of the sin of the world. And you're going, God could love us? I tell you, I get more amazed at the love of God every year. I get more amazed by the mercy of God every year. And looking at my own heart and looking at what all God has done for me, I'm more amazed that God was so long-suffering and merciful with me. I appreciate my salvation a lot more now than I did the night I got saved. It means more to me, but then what you learn also as you begin to apply the promises of God in your life, and you learn more about the things that God has weighing on us that are saved. And the more you dig into those things, you understand salvation was just the tip of the iceberg. There is so much more that God has for His people. And I tell you, you begin to love the teachings of God, and you start to apply one promise after another, and you start to give one thing over to God after another. And you see the blessings of God's promises. You see the sureness. You know, when you first get saved and God asks you to put that first thing of the flesh off and put on that first thing of the Spirit, sometimes we're a little timid. Sometimes we're a little scared to let go of what we've always known and to go by faith and to lay more things upon the Lord and to trust Him with more things. But yet the more you trust Him, the more you gain experience, and with experience comes hope. And you learn about the graciousness of God. Listen, Job was a saved man back in Job chapter 1. But by the end of it, he said, oh, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now I see thee. And the reason that he said that is because now he had put all of that faith and that hope in the promises of God. He had not just talked about it and believed it. He had put it into practice. The more you put the Word of God into practice, the more you learn about the faithfulness of God. Job even got to a place that he couldn't even feel the presence of God in his life. But he still knew that He was there. And at the end of it, he saw that God was there the whole time. And because he had gone to battle with the Word of God against Satan, and had those experiences with God, he said, God, now I know to trust You more than I ever have before. I know I can depend upon You. And I tell you what that does to a child of God. That makes us love His Word even more and more and more. It helps us to mature, to grow. And the more we give things unto God, the more hope we have, the more rejoicing we have, and the greater understanding and love we have for the law of God. He says, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. You know, sometimes in life we do things because we say, well, somebody else might be watching. Somebody else might pay attention. When we fully mature in the Lord, we're not concerned about what everybody else is thinking. We know there's one person we're meeting in judgment. And there's one person we're focused on pleasing, and that is the Lord. He says, everything I do is before You. He's saying, God, You know my heart. You know everything about me. You know my thoughts. God even knows our idle words. He knows it all. And he has learned that there's somebody he can depend upon. There's somebody he can trust. There's somebody that gives him hope even when this world is crashing around in his life. And I tell you, that's the things that you want to pass on to people. Sometimes people say, well, all we want to do is make sure people are coming to church. Somebody can come to church all their life and lift their eyes in hell. I don't see where that's a benefit. Sometimes people say, well, we just want to give them to Jesus. Well, I tell you what, I don't only want them to get them to Jesus, I want them to lay up a full reward. I want them to be able to go through the trials of life and let the light of the gospel shine through them. I want them to be used of God. I want them to see the blessings of God's Word. Do you know there are many people that go to church and many people that have professed faith in Christ that they don't know how to love the Word of God? They haven't looked at the Word of God and they haven't clinged to it. They haven't learned the benefit of being a doer of the Word of God. The more you grow in your relationship with God, the more you're going to love the commandments of God. You know, I've made the statement about that virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, that she knew her value. Well, how did she know her value? She knew it because of what the Word of God had taught her. She had applied those things in her home and in her marriage and raising her children and even showing compassion to others as she did. She had learned that serving God was better than anything else she could gain in life. And she loved it. You ever met somebody that just loves serving God? The Bible tells us that as we love God, if we love God, we will keep His commandments. And then there's another part to that that says, and His commandments are not grievous unto us. There are some people, you ever see somebody serve God and they're like, oh man, it's so hard to serve God. Sometimes they're wrestling with their flesh. And the Bible talks about that, doesn't it? Those who wrestle and rest. W-R-E-S-T. Those who are resting all the time, they're wrestling, they're arguing with the Scriptures. They're giving in to their flesh instead of yielding themselves to the Spirit. When we really yield ourselves to the Spirit and we see the blessings of the promises and the commandments of the Word of God, we go, I love doing this. Listen, there's people that go to church and there's people who love going to church. There's a difference, isn't there? There's people who pray out of habit, and there's people who love to talk to God. You ever notice the difference? There's people who carry their burdens to God and know that they can leave them there. They can place them to God, give them to God. And there's people who say, well, I got to deal with that and I got to take care of this. And there's a big difference between giving things unto the Lord. There's a big difference between yoking up with the Lord and understanding that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. There's people who have experienced that. And there's other people who are like, oh, it's so hard serving God. Do you know the difference comes down to love? The difference comes whether I cling and hold on to the commandments of God and say, I'm trusting them. I depend upon this more than I depend upon my own understanding, more than I depend upon my own experience. I just love the things of God and I'm going to follow them no matter what. Because I know that serving God is better than doing it my way. And then there's people that have not learned yet to give things unto the Lord. There's a lot of things that you want to teach people because you want them to learn the rejoicing in the Word of God. Do you know there's very few that find that rest? There's two different rests talked about in Scripture, aren't there? There's a given rest that's talking about the salvation that God gives us in Christ. Then there is a found rest. that we find by serving God after salvation. The Bible talks about many of those people have never found that rest, have they? Do you know why? They love the ways of the world more than they love the Word of God. But the real rest that we find, the real peace that is found, is when we learn to love the commandments of God. We love the Word of God. We depend upon it. That's what you find in the psalmist here. He's saying, Lord, I love Your Word. I rejoice in it. Oh, Your promises, Your Word. It's like I've come across some great spoil. I've come across this great treasure, and it means everything to me. I'm going to praise You 7 times a day. I'm going to rejoice over You. Dear friend, that's what we desire for every saved person. We don't want them to just miss hell. That's the first step, it is. That opens the door of relationship with God that is vital and important going forward. You can't learn to love the Word of God until you first know God Himself through Christ. But I tell you what, if you will learn to love His Word after you get saved, there is peace to be found. There is rest to be found. There's even rejoicing to be found. So much so that the Bible says we can rejoice in tribulation. You can say, well, I can't go through hardships and be happy. Do you know God can teach you that you can? He can make you even look at things and look at them and say, God, if You're allowing this to come into my life, You're working something. I just don't see it yet. That's the way Job felt, isn't it? When I come to the end of this, I will be as tried gold. There's something good coming out of this. I just can't see it yet. That's amazing. When I read that, I read that in amazement. You're talking about a man that lost all of his children, all of his possessions, had his friends turn their back on him, and his own wife say, why don't you curse God and die? And yet he could still have that faith and love in the promises of God to say, no, I know the God I serve. And at the end of this, I'll be far better for it. God's working something. I just can't see it yet. That's faith. And without faith, it is impossible to see God. See, that's what we want for people. We want them to be able to go through struggles in life and say, somehow through all this, if I'll keep my eyes upon God and I'll love His Word and I'll hold to His promises, maybe God can use this to let my faith be seen by others, and somebody's going to come and say, what is this hope that you have within you? What is this rejoicing that you have in times of such grief and sorrow, or difficulties, or persecution, or whatever it might be? And God will still give us the ability to smile and say, let me tell you about my Lord. Let me tell you about the One that gives me hope when everybody else says there's no hope. And hope makes us unashamed. Dear friend, that only comes when we fall in love with the Word and the commandments of God. And we put our trust in what God has said above whatever Satan would try to place in our thoughts and hearts. And that's what we desire for people to have, is that kind of hope, that kind of rejoicing that only comes from loving the Word of God. And I pray that we all have it. And again, if you're not saved, this can't be a help to you until you first know Christ. It can't be. Because you can't love the Word of God until you first know Christ. That relationship has to be started by believing upon the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. But that is a starting point for more rejoicing to come. for a great relationship to come, and for a light that can be reflected in your life as you yield yourself to the promises of God. And that's what we desire. That's what we want for ourselves and others, is that we can love the Word of God more, that we can rejoice at Thy Word. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.